this. So my coworker lives in this neighborhood, and recently everybody has been posting on like
next door
or something like that, or like their Facebook neighborhood group, something like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it's something like that, that they've been seeing these figures, these dark figures that'll appear before their car and then disappear when you like slam on your brakes or swerve to avoid it, and like not be there at all. And it was happening so much that like people started to call the police on them. So the police start patrolling, and it's like always between a set time frame. It's like 8 o'clock to 11 at night, like the twilight hours essentially. And the police started seeing them. They saw more than one. It could be, and it's not at the same time, but it was like two separate occurrences on the same day at different locations. So that's how it's more than one. It's not like, oh, a group of them showed up.
Yeah.
Either way. So now the police are seeing them. Their family members have seen them. The neighborhood is seeing them. The old lady who greets them every morning is really upset that they disappear because she can't say hi to them. Like, that's a real thing. It's so funny. She's so sad that those odd dark people that keep disappearing, she just wants to say hi, greet them into the neighborhood. It's like, oh, that's so sweet. Anyway, it's like our first thoughts are, why would there be a haunting happening, right?
All of a sudden,
because it's like a new thing. This is not a normal occurrence. So we have access to like all the archaeological sites in the state. Like, that's a special thing that you have to like, you know, password protected. Like, only certain people can access it. But since we're an archaeology firm, we can. So we look it up, and there is an old Indian mound that is now destroyed with houses on it. But that's been there. That's been that way. That's new. Like, not new. That's not, there's nothing changing there. It's upsetting, but it's not a reason to trigger anybody, right? Mm-hmm. And then there was also a cemetery that was located there, and there wasn't like much written up on it. It's clearly like somebody's family cemetery or something like that. Probably not very big. Either way, my coworker finally drives by the location where we said the cemetery was, which is also one of the locations where people were witnessing this dark figure appearing. And they're building McMansions where the cemetery is.
I'd be pissed too. I sure would come back for that.
Because like St. Charles has a history of removing cemeteries by taking off the headstones and throwing them into creeks, but not actually moving the bodies. So I'm assuming it's another one of those.
Yeah, just get rid of the headstones and the cemetery's gone. The
cemetery's gone because you can't.
That's how it works.
The surface anymore issues, and now these graves are being disturbed. Producing these shadow figures.
That's so ridiculous.
The other thing that people think it might be is just like there's like weirdly active owls, and they keep like dive bombing cars sideways, you know, like their wings fully spread so they look big.
Yeah.
At night. That's the normal.
That sounds like we're on Faked or Fact Paranormal Files, and they're like, how can we get an owl?
Yeah. To do exactly
for this experiment. Move.
Anyway, so that's the other, like, this is literally all the neighborhood can come up with. It's either owls, just a weird amount of them dive-bombing cars, or paranormal shadow people because they're building mansions on a cemetery.
That's so funny. I love that so much. Okay, I guess we'll get on to our story, and we'll hear my story next time.
Next week.
Alrighty. Take it away.
Okay. So, I wrote this one up before the most recent Texas school shooting, so it wasn't supposed to be timely.
I mean, to be fair, there's probably been a number of almost school shootings that have happened here in America that we don't even know about, so it's just never ending, and there's never going to be a right time.
Never a right time. But I wanted to, like, preface it, this is what I didn't, like, search, you know, untold school shooting stories. It just happened to be
this the
same
This is the next
time.
Thing that you looked up.
Because I just,
Well, no, because you did this research way before that happened.
Way before. This has been sitting
Because we haven't recorded in a while, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess trigger warning, this is a school shooting story, so if you, if you don't want to listen to it, I would skip forward. Scroll down, let me see how long this is. Skip forward about 30 minutes, I'd say.
If you hit the
we'll
middle
probably
of the
get a little bit
story, go back a little bit. Okay, so it's a little different, because it's not an American school shooting.
Those exist?
Absolutely, they exist. Well, as, strangely enough, okay, well, it's a, that was sarcasm, it's a German one in the 80s. Because when I was telling someone else about this story.
So you told me that you had one in Germany, and I was like, okay, I'm ready for it. Because you never hear, I mean, I don't think I've ever heard of any school shootings anywhere else.
Maybe not the 80s.
But,
no, in the 2000s. I'm sorry. The kid was born in the 80s.
Oh, I was going to say. Oh, the 2000s?
No, because, so I found out about this story when I was living in Germany. My host dad told me about it. Because I don't know. I remember what we were talking about. It was gun control or something. Or
something about America being terrible.
Something about America and school shootings. And just general, like, access to weapons.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what the moral of the story was. But either way, I was told, informed about this event happening, and I finally thought, you know what, that's a true crime that I've never heard anyone talk about here, because the only time I've ever heard about it is literally from my host dad.
Yeah.
Like, so I was like, let's look it up, see if it's,
like,
a thing.
The only other, like, weird mass shooting thing I've heard it from other countries is that, like, what was that, like, Swedish one on, like, some weird island?
I don't know.
Do you know that one?
I'm going to look it up really quick. Because the mass stabbing in the UK where the guy tried to stop the stabber with a narwhal tusk he got off of the wall of a pub.
Stop it.
I've heard of that.
You have to tell that one.
That's basically the whole story. There's a guy stabbing a bunch of people on a bridge. Everyone was yelling, you know, it's happening, like, there's this event thing, and this guy who was on parole said, I'm gonna stop him.
That's so funny.
I don't remember if he, like, successfully was part of, like, the capture, but either way, like, you know, the heroic effort was there. I think he might
apparently
have
it was, like, July 22nd, and that's, like, a Netflix movie.
What's it about?
Based on a true story. I was going to say, I think I watched part of this or saw, like, a trailer for it on Netflix and then looked it up to see if it was real, and it was based on a true story. Norway's deadliest terror attack.
Oh, but it's, like, a straight-up terror attack, not a school
shooting. I survived Norway's worst terror attack. Yeah, but let's see.
Not to say that, like, one's worse than the other, but...
Far-right extremist Anders Breivik set off a car bombs.
Yeah, because, like, there's the Paris.
No, because I thought he was shooting people. I'll have to look into it, because I thought it involved shooting, but maybe it just involved a bomb. I don't remember that part. Yeah. That's the only, like, other, like, tragedy thing I know, tragedy, besides, like, you know, everything that happens in Paris, because...
Yeah, there's always something happening in Paris.
Terror lives in Paris, I guess. Who freaking knows? Okay, let's get on with your story.
Okay, anyway. So, my story is the Erfurt School Massacre. I don't know why that was hard for me to say. Anyway, my sources are Wikipedia and rtl.de. I'm sorry. I wanted to say all of it, like, the German alphabet, and then was like, no, I shouldn't.
Yeah, Sadie speaks German, by the way, in case, fun fact. I kind of can. I know more than I think I do. Because I'll, like, be reading something, I'm like, why am I understanding some of this?
Yeah.
I guess that's what 4 years of high school will do for you.
It's shockingly similar to English, if you, like, let your brain be weird about it. You had to let it play with the word a second, and then it pops in. You know what it means. Anyway, so... Also, I'm going to preface, I'm not a fan of necessarily talking about, like, the perpetrator of these things, but... This is just a very interesting case from his perspective, because it's a lot of, like, you can see exactly what happened to bring him to where he was.
Well, that's why I always tell the backstory. I'm never like, here's a great person, let's all fall in love with, and I'll bring it to a terrible close at the end.
It's not at all the
same. I'm just like, here's the backstory, you need to understand what happened.
To where he got to, because that's important to understand, to know those things to be able to prevent stuff like this from the future.
Yeah.
From happening in the future. So anyway.
Well, and when I can, I try and, like, say stuff about the victims, but the sad thing is, when you look online, they don't ever tell you really about the victims. They tell you about the other person, and I never try and make them sound good.
So, Robert Steinhäuser was born in January of 1983. Good night. I've been doing all my research at work, and there's all the 1800s. 1983 in Germany. I'm assuming he was born somewhere near Erfurt. But it was never specified.
Okay.
And this means he was born in East Germany, by the way.
Okay.
So
is that prevalent to the case?
No, it's just neat information to know he was born into East Germany.
Okay.
So he was the second child of a nurse and an engineer. He was described as humorous but prone to bouts of irritability and was easy to anger. I always love hearing that description of a child. So his childhood was described by some as receiving more criticism than praise, primarily in regards to his poor academic performance. So his parents were very hard. They wanted him to do well in life, but he was not necessarily apt for the angle that they wanted him to do well
in. Not everybody's good at school.
And that's okay, but they wanted him to be good in school. So I'm not going to go into detail about the complexities of the German education system, but it's, like, very relevant to why this happened.
Okay.
So, in his early in his academic career, as early as fourth grade, his grades were already not good enough to lead him on the route that would take him to the school that would easily send him to university.
Yeah.
Because, like, very early on, they'd be like, yeah, you're really good at school. You should be able to do well in university. Or you're really more of a hands-on kid. You should be an electrician. And they'll send you, like, into school routes that are better for you. You can always test out of them into different things that mm-hmm. better suit you later in life. But they try to get you, they try to teach you all the skills you'll need to succeed in the route in life you're going to go in.
Yeah. If only they did that in America. Instead we need of more trade
making
people.
Making a business out of universities.
Yes.
Anyway, that's how it's sustainable for them to have state-funded universities, because not everybody can go.
Yeah.
You have to be good enough to go.
Yeah.
I
would not make it.
Anyway, so instead of going to, like, the normal route for that, instead of going to the route that he was better, like, inclined towards, mm-hmm. his parents insisted that he attend a middle school that can get you into high school. It wasn't necessarily, like, the best of the best middle
like
schools
a preparatory.
That would get you. It was, like, a preparatory for preparatory high school.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's, we're already, this is already not going great for him. He's in over his head.
Yes.
Because his parents want him to be there, not because he can necessarily achieve it.
Yeah.
So now we have a kid who's in a school that is far more difficult than what he is necessarily, like, up to the task of doing. So this exacerbates his grade issues, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just not doing hot in school. He's also just apparently not an ambitious student. And if you're in a situation where you just can't do well, you're not going to try hard.
I can tell you that from first-hand experience. If I already don't care about it, it's not going to go well for anybody.
So he's just not doing too great. He decides, you know what, we're just going to opt for, like, a GED type thing. It's just a certificate that gets him, he's done with school. It doesn't necessarily lead him to uni, but he has a certificate. And you basically need a school certificate to get any job
mm-hmm.
in Germany. Because most schools give you a certificate in middle school, and that will get you, like, a McDonald's job, right?
Yeah.
The GED gets you better jobs, obviously. So he signs up for the GED. He's, starts taking the exams. I think it's a more than one day situation, but he quits before the final exam.
Mm-hmm.
And then just goes back to school, which is, like, this is allowed. He could opt to test out and then decide he doesn't want to stay in and then, like, you know, go the uni route, right? So he's back in school, decided he's just gonna stay there, even though he's not digging it and it's not good for him. So the first threat that we get recorded from Steinhäuser was during a class trip to Petzow, which is a park with a historic village and castle in Brandenburg.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what a teacher described happening. He said that Steinhäuser, with a cigar in the corner of his mouth and a bottle of whiskey in his hand, he playfully shot finger guns from his hips at a teacher.
Okay.
Saying, "Dich erledige ich," meaning, "I'll handle you." Like, I'm gonna take you out Wild West style, I guess.
Okay.
And this apparently was, like, suspicious to the teacher enough to, like, tell people about it. Like,
yeah.
He remembered the event, which is, I don't think I'd remember that event if I saw a student doing it, unless I thought it was hilarious, you know?
Or but unless it's a real weirdo and you're like, that's a little chilling.
Like, oh, okay.
Do you need help?
Yeah. So that's the first thing they note.
Okay.
So obviously his performance is steadily declining because he just wasn't doing too hot to begin with. And at the age of 17, he's allowed to repeat the 11th grade. through a system of manipulations from both his parents and the school director, which is like the principal.
Yeah.
So now they're just really trying to force him to do well in this situation because he just isn't doing well and just shouldn't be there. And they really should have helped him long before this, but didn't. So in 2000, he joined the Erfurt Rifle Club and received a firearms license, which is like one of the only ways you can get a gun in Germany is if you're part of a shooting club, essentially, or if you're like doing certain hunting things and you can go through a route to get one there too.
Mm-hmm.
It does mean he should be very trained with it because if you're going to be allowed to handle a weapon, you will know how to use it.
Yeah.
In an effort to prevent accidents, essentially.
Yeah.
So the same year that he enters the rifle club, he quits handball, which he had played since he was 12, and started working on a film project with a friend called Retaliation.
No.
So he quits this sport he's played for, like, a significant portion of his life and is now doing this film project called Retaliation after joining a shooting club.
I would say that's a red flag.
Yeah. A little bit. So the next year, in 2001, the school director called him in to discuss a forged doctor's note because he'd been having issues with attendance, and this note was an excuse for the attendance, and obviously as a forgery, this is a problem. Like,
yeah.
So he's expelled.
Okay.
And he's 18 at this point.
Yeah.
So the principal doesn't tell his parents.
Okay.
Because he's an adult, I guess. This seems like,
I mean, wouldn't you still just, like, want to inform them? Be like, hey, if your kid's hanging out at home more, here's why.
Yeah, and this becomes, like, a thing later where they're like, yeah, that was
a big mistake.
Big bad of you. Yeah. You were supposed to, you didn't do it right. Like, they didn't do it. We'll get to that later. Either way, the principal did a mess up there. Not because, like, expelling him wasn't the problem. It's how he dealt with the expulsion.
Him not telling anybody.
Yeah. So, this left him with almost absolutely no job prospects because now he's expelled from school. He doesn't have that GED because he didn't go through with getting the test. He doesn't have that middle school diploma, which means he can't get jobs most places. Which I know that sounds crazy, but it is how it works. It's, I don't know why it's necessary, but that'd be the rules there. And we'll see, like, actual, like, big government changes because of this regarding these rules.
Yeah.
So this is considered the primary motivation for Steinhäuser's rampage, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That seems pretty reasonable to assume. As he specifically targeted teachers.
Okay.
Which people think may relate to him wanting to exact revenge on the school director and, like, the school system as a whole. So sometime around his expulsion, Steinhäuser purchases a Glock 17 and 1,000 rounds of ammunition for it.
And no one thought this was suspicious.
Apparently not. That seems like a lot of rounds.
Yep.
So for 6 months after he was expelled, he was able to convince his parents, brother, and friends that he was still attending school. Again, because his parents were, for some reason, never contacted.
I guess his friends graduated already.
Yeah, because they were all a year ahead of him because he repeated a grade. So he gets fake report cards to convince his parents that he will manage to graduate. His mother does come across a padlocked gym bag, but doesn't in his bedroom and doesn't do anything about it. If I found a padlocked gym bag in my kid's room, I'd be like, I don't care if it's just, like, your, like,
I don't care what's in here. It's getting confiscated, whatever it is. Nothing needs to be locked away.
I need to know what's in there. Like it's okay if it's anything related to, you know,
coming of age activities. If you think you can hide it from me, then I'm going to hide it from you.
You and I have different parenting ideas.
I mean, I would for sure cut the lock off and see what's inside of it.
Oh, yeah, no, I'd need to know.
And then assuming if there's something bad, like the guns and ammo, which I'm assuming were in it, they were certainly not getting to keep it.
Anyway, so there is also one possibly threatening call to the Gutenberg Gymnasium, which is the name of the school he attended. But nothing came of it.
Okay.
Which, that's how you know it's not America.
I guess.
Nobody did anything about it.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't beef up security. They didn't send people home. They did nothing. They didn't do anything about it. So,
well, also back then, this wasn't, well, I guess it was the 2000s in America this was happening.
2002, Columbine's already happened.
I was going to say, yeah.
So, he had expressed interest in violent video games, which, like, a lot of people do.
Most people do.
These things. Later investigation showed his computer history, on his computer history that he'd been researching Columbine, and
oh,
now it's suspicious.
No.
Violent video games mean nothing. Like, the concept of violent video games...
Well, also, back in 2002, the most violent video game is someone just falling over as them being dead. Like, there was not a lot of blood and gore and everything like there is now. Like,
but even then, it's like that there's
like,
so
what
many
was
war
violent
movies
Pac-Man?
That you're allowed to watch as young children, and you're saying those don't influence people to do things.
No, there's so many other things. Watching, like, fake wrestling is more violent than a video game.
Seriously.
Don't even get me started. No, I've always thought that was so dumb. I'm like, you really think the video game is the problem? I think it's you and your kid's mind. I don't think it's
that
at all.
They keep on going, it's like, well, we didn't have them before this point, and now we have them, and we have violent video games. And it's like, have you considered
maybe...
No,
how about you connect the dots to something else?
Many other, like, social changes that have happened in the last, 30 years. Anyway, so... The 26th of April, 2002, Steinhäuser left his house armed with a 9mm Glock 17 and his competition gun, which was a Mossberg 590 Mariner 12-gauge pump action shotgun, which was not functioning due to a previous issue. So I don't know why he took that with.
Okay.
I can't believe I read that whole shotgun spiel in one breath. Like, I didn't pause at any point.
You're getting better.
Steinhäuser entered the house around 10:45. Steinhäuser entered the school around 10:45, unmasked with the weapons and ammo in, if I understood what I read right, either a gym bag or a backpack. And I think at this point, I'm literally translating, like, a German article.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm unsure. Because it's a word that doesn't necessarily equally translate one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had both of these bags with him,
mm-hmm.
and that's why they were unsure what he was carrying, and I think that's why I was getting confused, because they were also, they don't know these details for sure, is the problem. So, he proceeded to the men's bathroom, where he changed some of his clothes, put on a black face mask, and left his coat, wallet, and ID in the bathroom.
Smart.
So now he's covered. And has no identification on his body. Not like they were going to search the whole school.
Yeah,
and
all right.
Out who
okay.
He was, but okay. So at 10:58, he enters the school office, shot the secretary and the deputy school principal, but leaves the director, like the principal, alone, the one that expelled him.
Okay.
Despite her office being right there, and her being in it, and the door being unlocked.
What the heck?
Yeah. The director heard the noise, but Steinhäuser was already gone by the time she opened the door. Did she not immediately open it? Did he run? I don't understand how there was so much delay. Anyway, she notices the bodies, locks herself in the office, and calls emergency services, which I don't know if that included the police.
Okay.
I think she just was like, there's people on the ground. Come help them. But she didn't go try to help them.
Great.
Quality human. I mean, to be fair, everyone reacts to situations differently, but I wouldn't want her to be the principal after this, at least.
No. She should no longer be in charge.
Steinhäuser was now moving from classroom to classroom, opening the door, shooting the teacher, and moving to the next room. So he's, like, systematically going down, just killing the teachers.
Jeez.
So by 11:05, a janitor called the police. This is why I don't think
the police were called.
The police is because the janitor is the one who's reported as successfully getting the police to arrive.
Yeah.
And they arrived by 11:12. So it's... That's math.
What time did you say he called?
Or something like that.
That's a pretty good response time, I feel like.
Especially when you consider the one time I had to call the police in Germany, it took them 45 minutes to get there because the town I was in didn't actually have its own police force anymore.
Yeah. It's not great.
We did actually manage to get an arrest on that, too.
Really?
Yeah. Because we were, like, out sitting out, and there was this couple that was, like... Oh, those people just, like,
broken somewhere?
Yeah, they were, like, clearly under the influence, and the guy picked up, like, a bike rack and slammed it into a store window, shattering it, and then they disappear into this alley, and we're like, well, we need to, like, call the police to at least report this, so nobody, like, goes in and steals things, right? So the police finally arrived 45 minutes later. And, like, 10 minutes before they arrived, we watched the couple come back out of the alley they disappeared down and, like, go into the, like, bar across from where we were sitting.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, okay. So the police arrived and they're like, here's what happened. You know, they disappeared down there and now they're in the bar. And they're like, are you kidding? And we're like, nope. And they're like, can you, like, point them out to us? And we're like, yeah. So we point them out and they get arrested and they're like, okay, so will you be able to, like, testify in court later that you, like, witnessed this? And my friend's like, yeah, she can't. And they're like, why can't she? And I was like, yeah, I go back to the U.S. in 3 weeks. And they're like, oh, you're an American? And I was like, yeah.
Cracking down on the law.
Yep. And then I was shocked that the 7 minute reaction time is great for any police department, mm-hmm. let alone my only experience with the German police department. It took 45 minutes for them to get there. So, at some point, there's a firefight between Steinhäuser and the police, and an officer is killed. I don't know when this happens, because Steinhäuser is now, like, just going further into the school, reaches room 111, which is either an art supply room or a classroom.
Okay.
And that one was that's a translation issue. I just don't think I know what this space is. It focuses on some kind of art, like sculpting or weaving or something like that is what this space is for. And at room 111, he is confronted by the history and art teacher, Rainer Heise. So according to Heise, Steinhäuser's mask is removed at this point. And Heise told Steinhäuser to shoot him while looking him dead in the eye. He was, like, essentially calling his, like, bluff. He's already killed a bunch of people. Here's the thing, it worked. Steinhäuser lowers his weapon and replies, which I've translated, Mr. Heise, that's enough for today. At this point, Steinhäuser said that he took this opportunity, like this pause, when he's lowered his weapon to shove Steinhäuser into room 111 and lock the door. So he's locked him into this room. Steinhäuser still has his gun, but he's now in one space.
He's locked away.
So, good job.
Yeah, he's the hero of the day. He really said, you're not going to really shoot me, are you?
There's no way you're going to do it while you're looking at me in the eye.
How about you look into my eyes and why you kill me?
So,
well, I mean, what you're saying is he literally just went room to room, opened the door, and shot a teacher. He isn't actually looking at anybody while he's doing it. He's just like, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead.
He's able to disconnect himself from what he's doing. So anyway, in this room, Steinhäuser shoots himself, and his body is found an hour and a half later by police.
Why did it take them that long? When this man knew where he was. Okay.
So, well, I'm just going to summarize what happened really quick. So, the entire event from the time he, like, entered the office and killed the secretary to when Steinhäuser shoved him into the room.
Yeah.
Heise shoved him into the room. It was 20 minutes. It was a 20-minute experience. 16 people were killed, 12 teachers, 2 students, 1 secretary, and 1 policeman. And there were a total of 71 rounds fired, so he bought way too many rounds.
Yeah.
Anyway, the explanation as to why it took him so long we'll get to when I talk about the systematic changes that this event caused. So this happened at the Erfurt is in the state of Thuringia, which is the state I lived in, which is why I was told the story, because it was a 30-minute train ride, or an hour. Maybe Weimar is 30 minutes. Either way, it was quite close, geographically speaking, to where I lived in Germany.
Yeah.
So anyway, in the state of Thuringia, reprimanded the school director, saying she overstepped her power in expelling him and that there were proper procedure that she ignored. But she faced no further legal ramifications other than this statement saying you did a bad job. And she retained her job at the school. I can't believe parents were okay with that.
Are you actually joking?
So the Thuringian education law was also criticized because, unlike other German states, middle school diplomas, which were received at the completion of ninth grade, were not awarded until high school. When you completed, like, whatever. I think everybody has to go to school until 10th grade, no matter what thing you're doing, depending on, like, no matter what route, right? But so he wouldn't be able to get it until at least finishing 10th grade if that was the end of the schooling he chose, but that's not the ending of the schools that his parents chose for him. So he didn't have any diplomas, which is why he would have even fewer job opportunities than normal. So now Thuringia, everyone gets their middle school diploma.
Yeah.
So technically they don't have to finish high school and they can still do something. A violent video game legislature was passed in Germany. I don't know what that means. That was not explained. And I didn't look into it. I didn't care enough. Gun laws were changed, upping the age for a gun license from 18 to 21. And anyone under the age of 25 has to undergo essentially a psych eval before they're allowed to get a license. Apparently, if you're older than 25, they don't think that's going to be a problem anymore.
Okay.
The pump-action firearms were banned altogether, even though he just used the Glock 17 because his shotgun was broken.
Uh-huh.
I'm confused by that one. Maybe I misunderstood something and he tried to use it, or actually did end up using it.
Yeah.
I don't know anymore. It was a very weirdly...
Documented
event.
Yeah.
So the police were also criticized for the response,
they always are.
They're always going to be criticized for their response. They always could have done something better. So initially they did think there were two gunmen. That was what was told to them originally.
Yeah.
There were two gunmen, which is why they ended up searching the school floor by floor slowly. And it took them an hour and a half to find his body because they were trying to find the second gunman. They know one had been detained.
Well, maybe because for half of it he had the mask on and half of it he didn't.
And that could be, is that what happened? Or that he was, like, somehow too quick to get away with something?
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Either way, they thought there were two. Maybe it's because they heard two different guns going off.
Maybe
he did get the shotgun to go. And they also made sure that all police officers received, like, training to deal with these situations, because technically they had to wait for a special task force before they could, like, execute the search. I think it's just the search. I do think, like, police did something about the gunman initially, because otherwise when did they have time for the firefight?
Yeah.
But they just, police now had more training.
Yeah.
Which is, that's
good.
Good. People still wonder, like, there's obviously, since he died and didn't leave, like, a diary.
No manifesto or anything?
There's no manifesto, no diary.
Interesting.
We can't see into his psyche.
Wait a minute. What was on that video?
What video? Oh, right. That film. Maybe they never actually, like, did much for the film.
Maybe.
I would love to know what was on
that
film.
Maybe it's out there somewhere.
So people still
wonder. And
that's the
manifesto.
If it was lack of, like, parental care, the expulsion, the access to guns, the hatred of teachers, or Steinhäuser's complicated and bruised ego. Or all of the above, which is what I think. I think it was a combination of all of it that causes the atrocity to occur. Either way, it's good to see the government immediately reacting to try to prevent it, because there hasn't been any since. And this was also sort of a one-off.
Isn't that kind of interesting?
Yeah, when you put systems in place,
when you actually do something about it, instead of saying, my thoughts and prayers are with you at this time.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing what's happened.
So
and I raise my thoughts to Jesus Christ himself, and maybe one day he'll come down here and take all the guns away. And even then, someone's going to try and kill him for trying to take all the guns away.
But I think it's just neat to see. Interesting, worth seeing a shooting that happened for very specifically different reasons than... And then the government actually reacting.
Yeah, someone actually doing something about it and
making
it stop. That's pretty funny how things work when you say, you can't do this anymore, it's illegal,
yeah,
and
it's,
you don't let people get things
years
easily.
And they haven't had another one.
Wow.
That's pretty... And here's the thing, they really didn't change their gun laws that much.
No, it doesn't sound like
it. At all. They were already stricter than ours are, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, but they're not... You just go get your license, and if you're over 25, you don't even have to go through those dreaded psych evals.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Good job translating.
Yes, but you could have had more before you came over. Fountain insult,
all right. So today, my story is not really like any of the other ones I have told. I would say it's more of a fun history and kind of a cryptid paranormal figure. I have literally two sentences on this paranormal figure, but apparently Germany's not very haunted, or they don't believe in it or something like that.
From what I understood from my time there, ghosts are not really believed in, so that's why there's
How lame. How are you going to tell me you believe in witches and all that other stuff and Hansel and Gretel and all that crap and you don't believe in ghosts?
Yeah, like paranormal beings are one thing, like cryptids and, you know, your fairies and your elves, like that's fine, but like ghosts are just aren't really a big thing there.
So I was only looking for a ghost story, and next time I'll just have to do a witch or something. Yeah, I don't
like
know.
A crazy or like a true legend could be fun. Yeah. We could do some of those.
Well, this is kind of legendy. Okay, anyway. So don't get your hopes up for this story because it's not really a great spooky story, but I thought it was interesting enough to still talk about. So I got my information from Wikipedia, visitberlin.de, and theculturetrip.com. So first is our history, which is the main part of our story. So in the late 17th century, the island was called...
Kanischenwerden?
Oh, yeah. Kaninchenwerder.
Rabbit Island is the translation. After a rabbit breeding station was set up there by Elector Frederick William I of Brandenburg. And then from 1685, he gave the chemist John Kuckel financial aid to build a glass foundry in the east of the island, the whole of which became Kuckel's property eventually. I'm not really sure what that story is, but... Anyway, so here Kuckel discovered a process to produce artificial ruby glass, which is red, in case you don't know what ruby is, I guess. Because that was in the article, it was like, red glass. And I was like, you need to clarify that? Okay. So after the elector's death in 1688, Kuckel gained no further support from his heir, and in 1689, the foundry was destroyed by a fire, possibly caused by arson. I saw this. And I don't know, like, I doubt it was Kuckel who would destroy his own thing, because it's, like, technically his land.
Yeah.
Or what happened there, but there's some, like, weird background story about Kuckel that we'll get to later. So, he left in 1692 to work for the King of Sweden. I guess doing glass stuff? I don't know.
Being a chemist, I bet.
Whatever it is that he does. Have fun, Kuckel. Okay, so the island remained unused for about 100 years until in 1793, when the Prussian king Frederick William II acquired the island and had the...
Fountainsa.
Castle built for himself and his mistress in 1798 to 1797-ish, around then. So, the small Luchloss? That's the same thing I said. Was placed in the western tip of the island, visible from the king's residence at the Marmal Palace?
Marmor Palace? I don't know.
And Potsdam.
It's a palace of marble?
I guess. It was designed as a summer residence for the king. There was an English garden created around it, including a dairy. What? Yeah, that's right, because I remember reading it. So there was an English garden created around it, including a dairy shaped like a Gothic Revival church end of the island. So Frederick William's successor, Frederick William III, turned the island into a model farm. And in 1821 through 34, had the park redesigned. So there's lots of changes going on. There was more about it being redesigned, but I thought that was kind of boring. So the king also laid out a...
menagerie.
I could not read that word to save my life. The king also laid out a menagerie in which exotic animals, including alligators, buffalo, kangaroos, monkeys, chameleons, wolves, eagles, lions, llamas, bears, beavers, and peacocks were housed.
I bet every single one was just in a pit.
Yeah, I don't want to know what it looked like. So this initially stretched between the castle and the Cavalier Schloss.
Cavalier's house.
Maybe? Okay. But it was altered in 1824. The number of animals peaked over 900. From over 100 species.
This island didn't strike me as very big.
No. That's why I kept reading. I was like, what was happening on this island? Like, first a weird glass house.
Where did all the rabbits go?
And then, yeah, there's no talk of that. Then we have 900 different zoo animals, over 100 species. Frederick William III was very fond of his animals fed them, a lot of them personally, which I think is very nice. I think he actually tried to take care of them, unlike other people at the zoos at this time, hopefully.
Here's the thing, people just didn't know how to take care of a lot of animals.
That's
then.
True. So I don't know if a lot of them were trying to be abusive, but
yeah, it always, when you look back, you're like, oh my gosh, that's terrible, but they really thought they were trying.
Best by them, yeah. So it's nice that he wants to care for them personally. He also made his collection accessible to the people of Berlin. However, this created such an onslaught on the small island that in 1821, the public was allowed on the island only 3 days a week.
That's
so there's way too much traffic on the island. It's crazy because everybody loves his zoo of 900 animals. Understandable.
Mm-hmm.
So public interest still remains so high that the special trains running from Berlin were often overcrowded. In 1842, Frederick William IV transferred all the animals to the Berlin Zoo, which opened its gates in 1844 as the first of its kind in Germany. Fun fact.
That makes a lot of sense.
Much
more logical than keeping the zoo on an island.
Uh-huh. So, even though that's so fun, though.
Oh, no, it's really fun.
Let's go to the zoo that's on an island. On August 1936, the German government celebrated the closing of the 1936 Olympic Summer Games on the island with fireworks and an Italian night party involving 1,000 invited guests.
Wow.
So, and then in the 1960s, the... I can't even remember how you pronounced it.
Which one? Where are we?
The P one.
Fauninsa?
Yeah. Served as an outdoor location for a number of films for the German Edgar Wallace series.
No clue.
People might know what that is, but I don't. So today the island has retained its intended character as an idol of nature, in addition to several free-ranging peacocks. So I guess not all of the animals got transferred.
Here's the thing. Peacocks are they
might have been hiding in the trees.
Yeah,
they might have been
they're
in the
literally
trees.
So hard to remove. Like Grant's Farm here in St. Louis has... The peacocks there are not theirs. They just showed up one day.
That's actually really funny.
Like, Dad and I's running theory is that the St. Louis Zoo, because they no longer have their peacocks, just took their peacocks and just threw them over the fence.
That's so funny. I wouldn't doubt
but
it.
But they have no clue how the peacocks got there. They're just there.
Okay, so now this island has peacocks, and other native and exotic birds can also be found in captivity, complemented by a rich variety of flora. So the entire island is designed as a nature reserve since the 1990s, and it can be reached by a small ferry, but it's very popular tourist destination.
I bet.
So I just thought that was a very fun history.
It's fun,
so I was like, I didn't want to tell it because I took so much notes on it, and then there was nothing for the haunting, but it's okay. So now to our very short wrapping up of the story of the spooky part. So rumor has it that Kukul, Mr.
Chemist.
This chemist man apparently used to dabble in black magic in his lab during his time on the island.
In his defense, all science then was just black magic, so.
Well, science now still is.
Yeah, it is.
it is believed that Kukul still roams the island. In the form of a black figure with glowing red eyes. Like his ruby glass that he's created. so many people claim that they have why did I write the same thing
twice?
You did
write it twice.
Anyway, so apparently something about him doing black magic on the island in his lab makes him stay on the island for eternity, even though he left. Yeah, even though he left to go work for the Swedish king. I don't know. But I just thought it was a fun enough story to tell. And, you know, if you want to go with the black magic way, maybe it wasn't arson and maybe his black magic got out of control, yeah. And that's what burned down his little...
And that's what cursed him to be there forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's your little, I guess, cryptid-ish creature. I don't know.
Your little happiness at the end of the sad.
Mr. Kukul himself. And that's all I have for that story, unfortunately. Next time I'll have to look for a fairy or something. Or Hansel and Gretel's real story. I don't know.
Something fun.
We'll find something.
It is why we haven't done anything in Germany up until now, though.
Yeah.
It's like because I can read all of their articles, but there's just not articles on it.
Yeah, there's not too much. They got a lot of true crime because they got a lot of messed up serial killers.
Yeah, they do.
A lot.
Yeah. There's some very interesting things to cover there.
A lot of cannibals. In case you weirdos are wondering out there. Yeah. Check on your neighbors. They might not be friendly.
Get to know your neighbors. That way you know who did what.
Yeah, don't check on them.
When you're in your neighborhood happening.
Keep an eye on them is what I mean by check on them. I would never go and check on my neighbor.
Unless
there's a noise.
Yeah.
And something bad's happening. Then I'll take Apollo, and if there's a killer around, they'll be scared of him.
He's a big boy.
He's a big boy. Oh, yeah, I got a new dog. Did I have him the last time we recorded?
I think so, because we talked about my engagement.
Anyway, I have a new dog in case I didn't say that. Okay, well, don't... What?
Try not to kill anyone.
Don't mess with these words. Bye.